Welcome to Magic Time, post-game edition for Game 5, Atlantic Division Finals, Halifax Hurricanes and the Moncton Magic. Scott Squires, along with my broadcast partner from NBLC Live Games, Dave Tingley. And Dave, we talked about on the live broadcast just how pivotal this Game 5 was going to be with the series tied 2-2 and as close as this series has been. The Moncton Magic on home court defend home court and now have won two in a row for the first time in this series for either team, 111-93. Before we dig into the meat and potatoes of it, your overview and your thoughts on that Game 5 win for Moncton.
Well, listen, there were long stretches where Halifax just couldn't score. And Moncton, it was a game of runs, and Moncton definitely had the more sustained runs, and that's what you need, and that's what you can ride a wave of in your own building. And the crowd certainly played a factor tonight. The times of Moncton really got their offense in gear. Marcus Lewis got a great stretch in the first quarter where he brought everybody to their feet. Billy White had some stretches where he did some scoring, carried the load pretty much on his own for some stretches there because he was being super aggressive. So in a game of runs, we saw it go back and forth. It was 13 on a 6-0 run for Halifax, and it was back up to 19. Then it was down almost to single digits, and then it never quite got there though for Halifax. And when you got only really one or two guys scoring, Terry Thomas and Joel Kindred really was the other guy in only 19 minutes. They just didn't have enough firepower to get back into that single digits that you talked about on the broadcast, that kind of threshold that's important.
And for the Moncton Magic, we've seen other times during the playoffs and the regular season where teams have made runs on them and have gotten within a point or 2 points and then really made it, hair-raising down the stretch. But tonight, to your point, even though Halifax got within 13, got within 12, the term I used at one point late was they bent but they didn't break. For you, what was a key or two to the bending but not breaking?
Well, I think it's the key there was the effort on the defensive end of guys like Marcus Lewis, and not just him, but he was the player of the game announced in the building. We interviewed him in the post game. As good as Billy White was offensively, that's how good he was defensively. And I think really it's the contributions of himself. Trey Kell, we talk about his offense all the time. He was amazing tonight on Mike Poole. And Mike Poole forced into 1 of 8 shooting, was not a factor in any way, shape, or form. And you could attribute a bunch of that to Trey Kell. Jason Calise was his usual self defensively. Wayne McCullough came in for Marcus Lewis and sustained that level. Guarding Terry Thomas. Nick Evans was good defensively in his minutes, used his fouls well. So just the stand they were able to make. They gave up some second chance points. They lost that battle 26-11, which will be a focal point, I'm sure, for Coach Leonard for Game 6. But they were tough enough on that initial defense where they gave up those second chance opportunities. It didn't kill them.
And you mentioned Marcus Lewis. The Avenir Center, such a great crowd tonight on a Wednesday night in Moncton Dieppe. And you always look for a player or a play that can bring the crowd to its feet, energize the crowd, and really kind of get that momentum going. And certainly in that first half, Marcus Lewis was that player and made those plays. A couple of highlight reel dunks, very much a high flyer, to take the term that I use with Freddie McSwain. But we talked about Marcus Lewis's defense, but how about those couple of plays where he just made some steals and turned it into, basically from the half court in, a run to the basket and electrified the crowd?
Yeah, he had three steals there just playing the passing lanes. And I called it on the broadcast and in our post-game interview with him. I said your denial was almost maniacal of Terry. And I say that because Terry was, when Terry gets going full speed, first of all, it is tough to keep up. In a running race in this league, there's not much guys that can win a straight-ahead sprint against Terry Thomas. He's very fast. And Marcus Lewis, you get him coming around those corners off screens, and he is almost impossible to keep up with. But time and time again, there was Marcus denying the ball. Or if Terry did get it, he was forced way out away from the basket. And Terry did get his game off a little bit, finished with 25 points and 16 boards. Those are really good numbers, but he had to take 24 shots to get his 25 points. And just because a scorer is getting his numbers, okay, that's a good scoring average, 25 points a game. Just because this guy's getting that scoring average doesn't mean you've done a poor job on him defensively. You force a guy into an inefficient night like that, scoring-wise, as the main scoring option, then you've done your job, and he really did his job on Terry Thomas tonight.
And everybody's got to step up and contribute, but, you know, to a man, I think a lot of people said that Billy White was going to be a real key to this series for the Moncton Magic for a lot of reasons. The former Halifax Hurricane, you know, now obviously playing for Moncton. And I really thought that Billy White, especially in that first half, was what I like to call playoff edition Billy White. What were your thoughts on his effort, and you know, why do you think that he was able to really get it going tonight?
Well, I think some changes that the coaching staff, I think, made, some tweaks they made to get him when they were. Coach Turner said it before the game. We're going to try to emphasize getting him on some pick and pops, okay, some quick screens and just popping out, kind of a few steps away from the ball handler, trying to get him some ball in space a little bit with a guy closing out on him, because Billy White attacks those closeouts so well. They didn't get so much of those. They got a couple of those, but more what they did well was they would do they would pass the ball from side to side, or do a dribble handoff, or do an exchange that would get a switch from Halifax, and we'd get a guy like Joel Kindred in the post on him, or a guy like a couple times, or even a bigger guy, but a guy like a Meshack Lefeel or a Chad Posthumus, who can't keep up with him foot speed wise, and he would attack that right away. He'd get the ball, wasn't hesitating, wasn't dribbling the ball, pounding it, waiting for a double team to come. He was attacking it right away, and Joel Kindred a couple times, and he really finished well at the rim, attacking those mismatches.
And the big men played big minutes and played well for the Moncton Magic. Denzel Taylor, he played some good minutes, but he got in foul trouble. Then in came Nick Evans. Nick Evans got in foul trouble, and then in comes Joel Ndondo. But maybe just a couple of words, and what did you think about the play of that trifecta of Moncton big men?
Well, not a lot of numbers out of those guys we're looking at. I mean, on a night where Denzel plays 22 minutes because of his five fouls, only one rebound and one assist for Denzel, but he was disruptive defensively a little bit when he got back in. He drew that fifth foul on Ramel Brown when he was bothering Ramel on the dribble, and Ramel had to hook him to get around him. He made some defensive plays that were Denzel-like, but he really wasn't able to be himself. And I've said it before, I don't think that he gets the fair end of the whistle a lot in this league. He hasn't earned that respect of the refereeing corps yet that you think would befit a guy like him who's gotten, played top-level defense in this league for a couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, I thought Nick Evans was pretty good in his 19 minutes when he came in. Didn't make a lot of shots, but attacked a couple of closeouts really well, got to the line a couple times, played some pretty stellar defense in there. And Joel Ndondo, yeah, like we talked about it on the broadcast, it's a blessing to have a guy like him on the end of your bench who doesn't care how many minutes he gets. He's just going to go in and lock things down. He did a pretty good job defensively, but those guys did get burned a little bit on the offensive glass. The Lefeels really did a good job on the offensive glass. And again, a guy like Joel Kindred snuck in there for some putbacks. Jordan Washington got a couple, but Terry Thomas got to the glass a lot. So that's the part. And it's not just up to the big guys, it's up to the little guys to stick those box outs. Can't leave a guy in the perimeter, go chase the ball.
And something that is always so important in basketball games, especially in the playoffs, and even more so in a tight series like this,
I know where you're going,
is free throws. Trey Kell, perfect again from the line tonight. Freddie McSwain had a great night from the line. Joel Ndondo was there a couple of times. He had a good night. And Billy White, who struggled all regular season from the free throw line, had a fantastic night. What do you think is going on? And again, what did you think about Moncton's free throw shooting tonight?
Well, I mean, we talked to Coach about it during the season, and he said, like, well, what else can I do? We've emphasized in practice, guys get extra shots. At some point, you just got to start making them, or it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a sign of a squad that's not quite there mentally more than anything else, because these guys have made free throws at a high level. Certainly Billy, 80% he shot a couple years ago, high 70s for Halifax, and that got all the way down to his mid-50s at one point during the regular season. So he's capable of it. It just becomes a mental thing after a while, and it was really a mental thing for these guys a little bit during the season. But Denzel Taylor kind of kicked up his percentage towards the end of the year. Billy White was another one. So the guys that get to the line a lot, and the thing is, Trakell's getting to the line a lot, and a high volume guy making a ton of free throws. You look at a guy like James Harden. You know, that's where Trey is right now. That's how much he's getting to the line and how effective he's being when he gets there.
And at the end of the day, you know, Moncton gets the win. But it's the first time in this series that they've broken the century mark in points, getting 111 tonight. So they got 100 and then some. But looking at the way this series had gone through the first four games, other than what we've talked about so far tonight, what do you think was the one main ingredient that made the biggest difference for Moncton tonight to get that Game 5 win?
I think it was aggressiveness. When they got that bigger lead, they didn't get passive. They didn't. I thought down in Halifax, they got a little bit. They got a little bit passive, and when Halifax pushed out at them and started taking the game to them a little bit, being super aggressive in the defensive end, pushing Moncton out away from the basket, making their start their offense further away from the basket and later in the shot clock, Moncton kind of allowed them to do it a little bit, became a little bit passive, tried to look like that, let's try not to lose instead of try to win type mentality. Tonight they didn't do that. I felt they stayed on the attack. Billy, again, when he got that mismatch, he attacked it. Guys were shooting their shots. We've said Corey's not gotten on track yet, but he shot the right shots when he got them. Jason Caliste shot the right shots when he got them, and then the ball started going in, made a couple of big ones. Wayne McCullough hasn't been shooting the ball, kept shooting it when it's there. If you shoot the right shots at the right times and don't get back down from the moment and be scared, then eventually, if you're the quality opponent, you're going to come out on top. And I think that Moncton's just a better team right now in the series, and if they keep shooting the right shots and staying stellar defensively, even if they're a little bit cold, they're going to come out on top. I don't think these teams left in the playoffs can beat them if they're the team they were tonight in the rest of the playoff games.
And sometimes the offensive stats rule the day when you're breaking down a victory. But I think it would be remiss if we didn't talk about the contribution from Corey Almond. Mm-hmm. A lot of times he has been an offensive leader for this team, and he has electrified the crowd, especially with his three-point shooting. But he has struggled offensively. He hasn't really found a shot. But my goodness, what an effort he's making, and he's being such a pro. He's battling through. And Dave, I know that you can talk about some of the things that he's doing in other ways to help this team.
Yeah, I was really impressed when he had some terrible turnovers in the second quarter, and he missed some shots. And then he went back in with about 3 minutes left in the first half, and he missed a free throw, a technical free throw. And, you know, you could see him just hanging his head, but I was really impressed with the way the cliche kind of is his floor game. So if you're not making a bunch of shots, what's your floor game? Are you playing good defense? Are you sharing the ball? Are you making the right pass? Are you being unselfish? Are you sticking your nose in there defensively and rebounding? And I thought he did a really good job the rest of that game, taking what the defense gave him. He took the right shots, made a couple of threes, made a couple of shots, but even the ones he missed, they were the right shots. He's got to keep taking them. Because if Halifax knows that, okay, we've got him off this game to the point where he's going to stop taking the shot, that's even worse than him taking it and missing it.
There's a reason why I'm not a coach in professional basketball, because I couldn't be a coach in professional basketball. So far be it for me to question what coaches do. But you and I have talked about it on the broadcast. The one player in particular, Malcolm Duvivier. We never saw him in Game 1 and 2 in Moncton. He saw time in Games 3 and 4. He had a very good game in Game 4. We didn't see him a whole lot tonight. From what you've seen of the game and what you know of this player, Malcolm Duvivier, can you kind of come up with maybe a reason or two why he didn't see the floor more tonight?
Well, he's a rookie, right? So you don't know what goes on in the locker rooms with rookies. Maybe Coach Leslie feels like he's not fully prepared for the stage. He had a couple minutes tonight. He made one shot, missed another. But we're taking a fairly small sample size here. He was really good in Game 4 in the minutes that he got in. But he's a rookie, and Tyler Thornton is a more experienced player, a little bit more experienced. And I think Coach Leslie, from the looks of things, feel like he matches the personality of the team a little bit better and gives them a little bit more, maybe defensively, because he's going in there. He is hounding ball handlers, Tyler Thornton. He's getting called for fouls. He's complaining to the refs about it, but he is absolutely hounding ball handlers, being super physical. That does take the team out of their offense a little bit, gets them into the offense later as they bring up the floor. He's going to get some foul calls, but I'd be surprised if we didn't see with a season on the line, a lot more of Joel Kindred and a lot more of Malcolm Devivier, and maybe a little bit less of Tyler Thornton. I just think it's time to try something different. Really, the only reason that they're still in this series, Halifax, is because of that fourth quarter in Game 1 in Moncton. Other than that, they've won, you know, they've won one close game, and that fourth quarter really was when Mike Poole got red hot and basically won the game for them. Other than that, I mean, look, if that comeback doesn't happen, the series is already over. It's time to try something different, you would think. Not go back to the drawing board, but if you adjust those minutes a little bit, give a guy like Devivier some more time, have Kindred more involved in the, you know, he didn't come in until off a really good game in Game 4, didn't come in until nearly the end of the first quarter tonight, so you might see him with those guys a little bit earlier.
And this has been a tight defensive physical series. And there was moments of physicality tonight, but overall, I don't think that this Game 5 was as physical start to finish as the other four. Do you think that was maybe more so by design by one or both coaches, or it's just the way it went tonight?
I think it's just the way it went tonight. And every game's been called differently on the whistle by the referees. Not to say that they've all been, I mean, look, in social media, after every game in the series, there's been some level of what the heck is going on with the refereeing, especially from Moncton fans that felt they weren't getting the whistle down Halifax. I felt it was pretty strongly overblown, but tonight, certainly I got on the Zebras a little bit live, but I don't think it was to an extent it's played any sort of played on the outcome of any individual game, I wouldn't think, but certainly the style of play has changed from game over game over game. There's no doubt about that.
And I don't want to assume anything, but head coach of the Moncton Magic, Joe Salerno, has just arrived here at St. Louis Bar and Grill on the Mountain Road location, and he's pulled up a chair. He's going
to
be back in a second.
Talk to us?
So I'm thinking that I know he likes us, but I'm thinking because he's pulled up the chair that he may be willing to come on. So, Coach, Dave and I actually were just talking about the fact that this particular game, while it had moments of physicality, beginning to end, this game didn't seem to be as physical as the other four. And we were wondering aloud if it was kind of by design, if it just happened that way. As we get into it here, first of all, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win. But how did you see it from that standpoint?
Yeah, I agree. It seemed like there was a little more flow. I think we got out in the open court a lot more tonight, which probably, you know, took away a little bit of the half court, kind of grinded out. To be honest with you, I thought the officials tonight were a little bit better in making calls, you know, some of the clutch and grabbing, some of the illegal screens, things of that nature, which I think cleaned up the game a little bit, to be honest with you. But I think it was just more of a free-flowing offensive game.
Yeah, talking about maybe the impact of, we didn't talk too much about player of the game, Marcus Lewis, just yet, but talk about kind of the impact he had on that first quarter with his denial of Terry. I mean, I know Terry got 25 points tonight, but he got it on 24 shots. I know that's kind of a, you know, when a leading scorer gets 25, it's not always advantageous for him, but if you make him be inefficient, that can be just as big a win as shutting him down. So talk about the effect that Marcus had on that game right from the opening tip with his physicality and his athleticism.
Well, I think our guy Kent got the player of the game right tonight. You know, I really do. I think, it was Dave. Okay.
I think that.
Because obviously Billy and Trey had great games too, but Marcus Lewis was the difference tonight. I think he was the difference. Obviously, you know, he's making Terry work, you know, and Terry has to work hard for everything right now, and he's still finding ways to score the ball, but, he's just being physical, tough on him. And again, I think some of the breakout dunks and stuff that Marcus had, it just sparked some energy in the building tonight and made for an exciting start, and it allowed us, like I said, to kind of get out and kind of play freely and get up and down the floor.
And we talked about Marcus ad nauseum defensively tonight, but I don't think we gave justice to Trey enough defensively tonight on the broadcast, because Mike Poole was 1-for-8 for a reason. And I mean, Trey was, I mean, for every, I mean, we, I called him, I called Marcus's denial tonight of Terry at times maniacal, the way he just followed him all over the court. But I mean, Trey was just as tough with Mike coming off those screens. And so Trey's effort defensively he had to be impressed with too.
Trey is a seriously underrated defender. Yeah. You know, you always talk about Wayne McCullough and Denzel Taylor and Marcus Lewis, but Trey Kell is one of the best defenders on this team. And, you know, it's interesting for both those guys, Mike Poole and Trey Kell. you know, Mike Poole was having to work awfully hard on the defensive end, trying to defend Trey Kell and the amount of ball screens we put him in. And, you know, that's banging on Mike's body, just like Trey has to chase Mike off all these screens. So Trey's just done a tremendous job on Mike. He's such a smart player. He knows how we want to defend guys, where we're trying to force them, what shots we're trying to get him to take. And he's been outstanding. Trey was outstanding again tonight.
Yeah, on that point about Mike, because I know before the series we talked about how you broke down the percentages about how Mike goes left and right, and I thought tonight really looked like you guys had gotten kind of a handle on where to force him after this game. So that's kind of a thing through seven game series, how they you kind of have these chess moves. You guys get into a zone of forcing him the way you want. Now he's got to try to come back in game six and kind of counteract that. But do you feel like you've really got a handle on forcing him into the shots you want?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we certainly did tonight anyway.
Yeah.
Spent a little more time in the film room on that, you know, leading up to today's game. And, you know, Mike was fairly quiet in game four. You know, he had a big fourth quarter in game three, but you just figured he was going to come out more aggressive tonight. So we spent a little more time talking about how we want to defend him. And he's just such a great jump shooter going left, you know, and we want to try to force him to make plays going to the rim, which you don't see him do often. So, you know, we just have to maintain that focus on the defensive end. But, you know, 15 steals tonight, 6 blocks. Like, we were very aggressive on the defensive end, and that's really the big difference in this series and how we play.
And, Coach, you know, you had a good lead, which is a luxury to have in the fourth quarter, but you had some guys in foul trouble. Denzel was out. Billy White was out with their 4 fouls. And as the fourth quarter wore along and Halifax made a couple of runs and the lead started to get down to 13, down to 12, Dave and I were wondering on the broadcast, okay, how's Coach going to play his hand here? When might he bring Denzel back? When might he bring Billy back? What was your thinking? Was there a point where you're saying to yourself, okay, this is going to happen, then you got to go back in even with your 4 or 5 fouls or whatever? What was the thinking in bringing those guys back?
Yeah, I don't think there's ever really a certain thing that has to happen. It's really kind of a feel. It's kind of a gut feel type thing. I mean, obviously, you know, you feel comfortable with guys like Billy and your starters playing the last 8 to 9 minutes of a game. That's always in the back of your head. You know, I also, in the back of my head, I said, this league gets down to about 12. You know, we're rolling the guys back out here. But some guys off the bench brought great energy. Nick Evans tonight brought a spark to us that was needed. Got the building involved. I thought Jay Calise played a lot of minutes tonight. He was solid. You know, I think our whole bench, Jay played 33, Wayne played 19, you know, Freddie played 10. It was, they all contributed. And I just thought we timed it pretty well tonight, and our guys were fresh late in the game, and that's our depth, you know, which we knew was a key to the series.
And the other thing we talked about before the game too was Billy and how you were going to try to get him to be a little bit more aggressive tonight. And how do you think he reacted? Because I thought he did a great job, what you talked about in the game, trying to get them on switches and get him the ball early on that switch and have him attack right away. And I thought he did a great job of that tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, Billy really did the great job. I mean, that was our thought going in. That was the game plan, and Billy went out and executed that. And, you know, I had the feeling he was going to be much more aggressive tonight, and he was right out of the gate. But I think putting Billy out in space, again, some pick-and-pop stuff we talked about before the game, is giving him some driving lanes, giving him some room to attack. At the same time, you know, when they don't help enough, Trey Kell's turning a corner, getting to the rim. So it was effective. It was an effective adjustment we've made in the series. And Billy was really good tonight. Like, he was tough, and he was focused and wanted to get the win.
How are the bruises on Trey's arms?
Oh, man, he's beat up. Trey's beat up. Marcus Lewis is beat up.
No kidding.
Yeah, guys are dinged up, but that's expected in a series like this. And, you know, just all the focus now is directed. And you have an opportunity to close it out. You know, we got to take care of business Friday.
Because one thing I see about Trey all the time is he's not, like we've talked about before, he's not the quickest guy. But he's got a pretty explosive first step because he's got that long stride and the big body. And he seems to take... He gets a lot of no calls on that. Not just when he gets to the rim. We talked about how he's been taking a lot of punishment, maybe not getting every call he deserves, but a lot of times off that initial attack, he gets that bump and plays through that so well, and then gets to that second level and absorbs the contact again, and that's really where all his bumps and bruises have to be coming from.
Yeah, he's taking a pounding. You know, it was funny. He kind of, when we made some subs in the last 3 minutes of the game, kind of pulling some starters out, I didn't sub him out right away. He kind of looked at me like, "Coach,
what are we doing?
I'm ready to come out." And but no, he's a tough kid. He's a tough kid. A lot of guys on this team are tough, and Trey's certainly one of them.
Coach, you can break down film. You can draw up X's and O's. You can do all of that. But you and I and all of us have talked about how you can't really coach free throws. This team kind of struggled through the regular season with three free throws.
Don't bring it up.
I'm knocking on wood. But my goodness, Trey Kell in his last two home games is perfect from the line.
I counted it, 50 for 54 for the series.
There you go, 50 for 54 from the series. Billy White was great from the free throw line tonight. Joel Ndondo in limited shots did it. Freddie McSwain did it. Can you put a finger on it, or are you just going to let it ride?
I'm just not going to talk about it at all, because it's obviously something we've noticed, and it's like we've been a different free throw shooting team in the playoffs. Yeah. But I think that's guys just focus, man. They want to get it done, and we've been getting to the line a lot. We've been attacking in the rim, and let's just move on to the next topic.
It's like, don't say the word Macbeth in a playhouse. You're not allowed to say that. Don't mention the.
In honor of my dear departed mother, I know that listeners can't see what I'm doing, but I'll let you listen. Knock on wood. And again, we talked about it a second ago before he came in, but maybe just a word about your veteran and about kind of your anchor of this team, a returning player, Corey Almond. It hasn't really been his series offensively, but he's done so many other things. What's it like right now talking to Corey, and how are you sensing his confidence level is overall?
You know, Corey, his shifts were cut a little tonight. You know, we ran with Jay Calise a little bit more tonight. He was struggling a little bit. He struggled in the first half with some decision making, and his shot hasn't been going really the whole series. He's struggling to find that shot because Halifax is doing such a great job running him off the 3-point line. So then I feel he's trying to make other plays, and sometimes those plays aren't there, and he was forcing the issue. But I'm still trying to pump him with confidence. You know, every time he comes off the floor, I say, keep shooting it. You know, keep letting it go, find your rhythm. You know, we'll get through this. And even when I put him in the last 3.5 minutes of the game, 3 minutes of the game, I said, try to find a rhythm three. You know, go out there and try to find a shot, try to get something going. When we had the technical foul.
He had just
checked in the game. Yeah. There was a reason he took that shot. We just wanted to see the ball go in the net. So Corey is—he's fine. He's good. He's just focused on winning. So whatever it takes to get it done, I'm sure he's in for.
And something else—you talk about the leadership of Corey, a true pro. There was a sequence late in the first half where you guys had the comfortable lead, and there was about 15 or 16 seconds left on the clock, and Freddie McSwain had the ball in his hand. And instead of kind of going into a half court and maybe playing for a shot with a second or two left, he tried to lob it inside and create something that way. When that happened, Corey Almond immediately talked to Freddie on the floor and kind of, you could see him gesturing, pointing at the clock and basically saying to him, hey, listen, young man, if you had done this or whatever, what kind of presence and what kind of injection does that type of leadership from Corey bring?
Well, it's good. I mean, we need that. Guys like Jay, guys like Corey, Billy, guys that have done it before. We all knew we should have held for the last shot there, and Halifax came down and hit a three, right? So that's a potential 5-6 point swing. And Freddie heard from Corey, then he heard from me, and then he heard from Elvin, and I'm sure he heard from Todd. But it's good because, to hear it from players, not just coaches, can always mean sometimes a little bit more even to hear from a peer. So it was good. And Corey, like I said, he's just he's trying to do whatever he can to help our team win.
And not just Corey, but I thought – you guys have had, Jason hasn't been super hot in the series. Wayne hasn't seen a lot of shots go in. Those guys from the perimeter haven't seen a lot of those shots go in. But what I thought you guys did a good job tonight, and I like what you said about, Corey, go hunt a shot, go hunt a get in rhythm. I thought the guys, they took the right shots tonight, even though they didn't always go in. I mean, you were 2 for 15 from 3 in the first half, but you shot the right ones, I think. There weren't a lot of bad, rushed early shots. I thought you took the right ones, and as long as you guys play smart defensively and take the right shots, you guys are probably the team to beat in the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, play the numbers, right? Keep taking the right shots. They're going to go down at some point. I thought in the first half we were getting good looks. I thought we had some good ball movement, great extra pass possessions, and they're not falling. But again, to counter that, we're getting to the line.
Yep.
30 to 40 times a game. Yeah. So. They're going to go at some point. We just got to keep doing the right thing and making the right decisions.
Coach, for the first time in this series through five games, the Moncton Magic reached the century mark in points, and you did it and then some tonight, getting 111. Other than what we've talked about since you've joined us here, for you, what was the biggest difference tonight in your offensive game and having you guys being able to open it up a little bit and to hit that 111 points, which is the most of any team so far through the five games of the series?
I think the turnovers we forced. I think just being so aggressive defensively and like I said, getting out in transition. I thought we got some easy buckets, some easy dunks. That kind of set the tone for the game out of the first quarter, and we were pretty free flowing. I thought the ball moved well tonight. I thought a lot of times, Nick made a couple good passes out of just high pick and roll, and when the defense collapsed, we found shooters, and we just seemed to have good spacing, good ball movement tonight. We were flowing offensively, which has been the ultimate point of emphasis after game three and the way we played offensively in Halifax. So, you know, we're going to continue to spread them out and look to attack and just keep moving the basketball.
And, Coach, we'll let you get going here in a second. I want to talk about Salerno birthday week before we let you go. But final thing now, you've got tomorrow off, then you got to make the trip up to Halifax. You'll hear it said, in any team sport, the toughest game is the closeout game. You guys have a chance to close it out on the road in Halifax. What will tomorrow be like, and what's going to be a couple of keys for you to get that closeout on the road?
Yeah, you know, we coaches all discuss how we want to kind of go at tomorrow. You know, we're probably going to have very, very light walkthrough stuff in the morning. We'll leave for Halifax early afternoon, and we'll have a film session tomorrow night at the hotel, and then really have a good shoot around on Friday morning. Some guys are banged up, you know, but I think we're pretty dialed in as to how we want to play. We know now how we have to play on both ends of the floor. And, you know, I think for us it's continuing to get into the film and seeing what's working, seeing where we're having some lapses. And we had a couple bad defensive breakdowns in the first quarter, just a couple possessions, cleaning that stuff up. But to us, it's mental, man. It's mental. If we can stay locked in and understand the intensity we have to play with, how hard we have to try to rebound the ball, and, you know, just understand the importance of the game. Anything can happen in a game seven. We're not trying to go to seven, you know. We're trying to finish that off in Halifax. I think we're capable, and I think right now, the way this game went tonight, you know, we probably have Halifax down and out a little bit. I think they'll bounce back, you know, Friday, but we don't want to breathe life back into them. And I think a win in game six could certainly do that. So we're just going to try to handle business.
Now, to switch gears a little bit, I referenced it a second ago, Salerno birthday week. And talk about handling business, Dad. You gave Camden, your son, a win on his birthday, which was on game day for game four. And then you talked about the potential pressure here because your wife Darcy's birthday was today, game day for game five. Well, guess what? Happy birthday, Darcy. You got the win. So now it's Alex, your youngest, your daughter. Her birthday is on game day, game six. What has this week been like with the Salerno birthday week and all these game day birthdays?
It's been busy. It's been extremely busy. I mean, today I kind of rushed. Darcy went and got a facial today, and she had some mom time and birthday stuff, and I kind of rushed to the... I went and got a cake, and I went and got some flowers, and I rushed to pick the kids up and get home, and let's have some gifts and cake before I go to the arena. So it's been a scramble. But it's worked out so far, and, you know, Darcy said to me coming off the floor after the game, so that's the best birthday gift I got today, so... They're all on board, and trying to go 3 for 3, man. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be something special. And, you know, Alex is, she understands.
She might take that personal if you don't win.
Yeah,
her
she
birthday.
Knows. She knows what's going
you're 2-0.
On.
She may only She'll be upset.
5 years old, but she knows what's going on. So we'll try to go 3 for 3 and give her a birthday present on Friday as well.
Now, I'm a dad of three, and I'm nowhere near suggesting exploitation of children, but perhaps, because your daughter, Alex, oh my gosh, she's a super cutie, perhaps bringing her into the locker room prior to game four and saying, guys, you got to get this one.
Because she's super outgoing. I would love that. Right?
Yeah, I'm pretty superstitious, and we're probably not going to change up what we do pregame. And but you know, maybe hopefully maybe they'll go to the game Friday night, and if we get a win, maybe we'll take in the locker room after the game. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. I really hope we can go 3 for 3, and I'm looking forward to her birthday party on Saturday. I would much rather be able to enjoy that party and not have game seven on my mind
the next day.
So. But it's been fun. It's a birthday week every year, right? So it's great. And like I said, I'm just looking forward to Friday night and trying to finish this off.
And not only are you a great coach, but you're a great guy as well. Thank you for the cake. You brought Dave and I some cake. And
yeah,
Dave,
where is that cake,
well,
by the way?
It might be in my backpack,
game.
And it might be in my car.
It disappeared after
just
the
saying.
Game.
But thanks for the cake, Coach.
You are welcome. I remembered, brought a couple I knew Saturday was your cheat day, Scott. You're going to have to put that in the fridge. But, yeah, you know, that is store-bought. I'm not going to lie. That's store-bought. I didn't have time to make a cake. I'm not much of a baker.
I'm not mad at it.
But it's supposed to be pretty. It was good. I had a piece this afternoon. It's like a double fudge chocolate. It's my wife loves chocolate. So, you know, enjoy it. Hopefully there's not a game seven. So that's the only piece of cake you're going to get. So enjoy it.
Fair enough. Well, listen, Coach Joe Salerno, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations again on the big Game 5 win. You're now up 3-2, and good luck in Halifax on Friday, and hopefully you close it out in 6.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the next time we talk, we're going to a final, right? So, again, thanks for having me on, and, yeah, knock on that wood again, right?
There it is.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
That is Coach Joe Salerno of the Moncton Magic. On behalf of Coach Salerno and my good buddy Dave Tingley, I'm Scott Squires. Thank you very much again for tuning in to the Magic Time post-game podcast edition. The Moncton Magic with a big 111-93 victory on home court as they take a 3-2 series lead over the Halifax Hurricanes. They'll look to close it out on the road in Halifax on Friday night. We'll talk to you again soon, my friends. And remember, if you can't take part in sport, be a good one anyway. Bye for now.